This is VOA News from Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. The British Defense Ministry intelligence reports say Russian military and the paramilitary Wagner Group forces have recently gained footholds west of the Bakhmutka River in the town of Bakhmut. The ministry said the river had recently marked the front line of the battle in the eastern Donbas town. Ukrainian forces continue to defend the western portion of the city. VOA correspondent Anna Chernikova, reporting from Kyiv, told VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine program what the Ukrainian military is reporting on the latest on the fighting in Bakhmut.
For the moment, what we know is that extremely difficult fighting continues, and Ukrainian military continue to control the central part of the city of Bakhmut. However, Russian Wagner Group had certain advances inside the city, but according to official updates that we have, according to Ukrainian military, a central part remains under Ukrainian control. There are also some tries by Russian military, particularly Russian army, which is separately from Wagner Group, to get some advance next to the city of Vuhledar, which is also in the same area. But for the moment, there are official reports that Ukrainians managed to keep the positions.
Slovakia Friday approved a plan to provide Ukraine with MiG fighter jets. Slovakia is the second NATO country following Poland that's answered Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky's many requests for the aircraft to help Ukraine in its fight against the Russian invasion. Slovakia's Prime Minister Eduard Heger told reporters Friday his country's on the right side of history in providing the retired fleet of 13 Russian MiG-29 fighters. China's Foreign Minister Qin Gang told his Ukrainian counterpart Dmytro Kuleba Thursday Beijing is concerned about the grinding conflict there spinning out of control and has urged talks on a political solution. Qin made the remarks in a rare phone conversation with Kuleba Thursday. This is VOA News. Protesters have disrupted traffic in Paris as anger rises over French President Macron's decision to force through a controversial bill without a vote in Parliament that will raise the retirement age there from 62 to 64. Associated Press correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Opposition parties are expected to start procedures later on Friday for a no-confidence vote on the government led by Prime Minister Elisabeth Borne. The vote would likely take place early next week. Macron had ordered Borne on Thursday to wield a special constitutional power to push the highly unpopular pension bill through without a vote in France's National Assembly. His calculated risk has infuriated opposition lawmakers, many citizens and unions. Thousands gathered in protest on Thursday at the Place de la Concorde, which faces the National Assembly building. As night fell, police officers charged the demonstrators in waves to clear the place. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
In an exclusive interview with the French news agency AFP, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has argued the United States is a much better partner than Russia to Africa's north-central Sahel region, in terms of fighting poverty and the extremist terror-driven violence that's been plaguing the region. Blinken sat down for the interview Thursday in Niger's capital, Niamey, following a day of meetings with officials in Ethiopia and Niger, in which he pledged U.S. humanitarian, economic, and military support. The Secretary of State admitted the all-military approach to fighting terror used in the past by the United States and former regional colonial power France was not sufficient. Blinken said Niger is a good example of how a more holistic approach can work.
What you see Niger doing, including dealing with the problems of violent extremism and terrorism, but also security more generally, is taking this holistic approach, focused on development, focused on good governance, focused on building institutions, focused on giving people opportunity. And the fact that Niger, which is obviously one of the poorest countries on earth, is doing this so effectively, I think only underscores the importance of taking this comprehensive approach.
The UN Human Rights Office released a report Friday which says human rights violations carried out by authorities in Belarus, including the systematic repression of protesters and dissidents, could amount to crimes against humanity. The report covers the period between May 2020 and the end of 2022, spanning a disputed presidential election on August 9, 2020, which gave Alexander Lukashenko his sixth term in office, as well as the brutal crackdown on demonstrators and critics that followed. The violations outlined in the report include the security services' widespread, unnecessary, and disproportionate use of force, torture, and arbitrary arrest. From Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.